Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Ezekiel chapter 37. That'll be our main scripture this morning, and we'll get to that shortly. But once again, as you know, we're continuing our series titled The Bible, A True Story. As we continue to look at, you know, key people, stories, and scriptures that are helping us to better understand who God is and who He desires us to be. Now, if you've been with us the last couple weeks, you know that we've entered into the section of the Bible that really begins to cover many of the prophets that served during the time of the kings and beyond, as they went into exile. As I mentioned the last few weeks, after King Solomon's reign, Israel had divided into two different countries. They were then known as Judah and Israel. And during this time, they had numerous kings over a period of a few hundred years. And some of those kings did good in the eyes of the Lord, while most of them did evil in His eyes. So because of that, God raised up these prophets in both Judah and Israel to hold these kings and really to hold the people of Israel, His people, accountable to Him. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the prophet Isaiah. And then last week, we looked at the prophet Jeremiah. And if you remember, both of these prophets spoke words of judgment against the people of Israel, prophesying that because of their sin, because of their rebellion against God, that they would eventually be taken into exile. And if you remember, we talked last week about at the end of Jeremiah, Jeremiah himself experienced these prophecies firsthand as Babylon actually captured Israel and took them into exile. And it was at this time that Babylon brought many of the young leaders from Israel to come and serve in the king's court. Leaders that you may be familiar with. Leaders like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and a man named Ezekiel, who we're going to take a look at today. Now, before we actually get into the scriptures this morning, let me kind of just give you a little background on Ezekiel as the prophet in this book. Like I mentioned, he was one of the ones that had been exiled into Babylon. Now, we have to understand at this time, King Nebuchadnezzar had conquered the people of Israel. But in this first conquering, they didn't destroy the temple and much of Jerusalem was still intact. And so Ezekiel is one of the ones, though, that was exiled and taken away. And he finds himself in this foreign land. And 5 years go by. 5 years later, on the day of Ezekiel's 30th birthday, the day that he normally would have been appointed as a priest in Jerusalem, he's out in the field, I think probably down and frustrated, I'm guessing, who knows. But as he's out there in this time, contemplating where he's at, where he could have been, he receives this vision from the Lord. And in this vision, God actually appoints Ezekiel to be a prophet and to speak words of judgment against the people of Israel, much like Isaiah and Jeremiah had done. And he prophesies that Israel will again be invaded. But this time they will face total destruction as the temple and all of Jerusalem, everything will be destroyed. And it's in chapter 33 of Ezekiel that we hear that this prophecy has been fulfilled. Jerusalem and the temple have been destroyed by the people of Babylon. Now, as you can imagine, this reality had to be extremely depressing for the people of Israel. That this once great and an amazing nation that was the pride of God is now gone. The temple where the presence of the Lord had dwelled for years is no more. It no longer exists. And Ezekiel will tell you, he'll be straight as he was with the people there. He'll tell you that it wasn't without warning. He had warned them that this day would come. And he'd also tell you that it was deserved. Because the people of Israel had turned their back on God. They had rebelled against him, worshiping other gods and failing to obey his commands. And so in chapter 33, the book of Ezekiel hits a very depressing low as Jerusalem and the temple are completely destroyed. But then the book begins to take a turn as Ezekiel begins to then share some hope for the people of Israel. And this has been one of those amazing things to me as we've been looking at these prophets who God used to bring judgment. They would speak of the consequences and the judgment that they would face that would come to them because of their sin and their rebellion. But these words of judgment were always followed by this glimmer of hope for the future. And the same is true here in Ezekiel. As things hit an all-time low, God begins to show Ezekiel the hope that lies ahead for his people. And we're going to take a look at some of that hope this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. We're going to read Ezekiel 37, 1 through 4. Very popular scripture. You may go, where do I know that from? And it might be from that backboard back there. But let me read to you Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. This is what it says. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" Verse 7, "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord." And we're going to stop there this morning. So in this section of scripture, God gives Ezekiel this amazing vision. And Ezekiel's vision, it's a metaphor for the people of Israel in this day. But I also think it can be a metaphor for many of us in our lives today. You see, the feelings of Israel at this time are no different than the feelings of many who have seen their dreams fall short. Babylon had come and had taken Israel into exile. They had ripped them away from the land that God had once given them and promised to them. That this once great nation was now destroyed. And Ezekiel sees these dry bones as a symbol of what has happened to this once great nation, to this once great army. These are the bones of the men of Israel that went out to war and were now defeated. They were men that thought they could fight against this great Babylonian army. The men who were sent out to save this once great nation known as Israel. These bones that Ezekiel sees here are, they tell a very powerful story. They tell of Israel's defeat and the death of a dream that once was. A dream to be a powerful nation of God that had been promised to them years before. And so these bones are a picture now of hopelessness, defeat, failure. There seems to be no hope, really, at this moment in time for the people of Israel. And all that's left of this amazing army is this valley of dry bones. Now, the truth is, we all have had dreams that maybe have died at some time in our lives. We've all experienced defeat and failure in one way or another. It's impossible to go through life without knowing the feeling of failure. It's part of living in a fallen, broken world. At some point, we come to realize that failure is a part of life. And the thing I think we need to understand is that everybody fails. It's okay to fail. No one has ever succeeded at everything in life. Some of us may think we have, but we haven't. And the truth is, some of the most successful people in life have actually experienced some of the worst failures. Let me just give you some examples of people you may know. Abraham Lincoln, known as one of the greatest presidents of our nation. He was no stranger to failure. His business failed in 1831. He suffered a nervous breakdown in 1836. He was defeated in his run for president in 1856 before he was finally, 30 years after his business failed, he was elected president in 1861. He later said this about failure. My great concern is not whether you have failed, but whether you are content with your failure. How about Albert Einstein? Anybody know that name? He's known as one of the greatest geniuses of our time. But did you know he was once expelled from school? And he was refused admittance to a school that he applied to in Zurich. But his early setbacks didn't stop him from eventually winning the Nobel Prize in Physics in 1921. He later said this about failure. Success is failure in progress. Right? You keep going. You keep trying. You keep trying. And eventually it leads to success. There are all sorts of stories about people like this. People like Michael Jordan. Right? Steve Jobs, Walt Disney, Bill Gates, right, who went through failure after failure before finally experiencing great success. The truth is, we won't succeed at everything. We will experience failures at times in our lives. And we will have hopes and dreams that may never play out the way we had hoped that they would. But I have a question for you this morning. What about those dreams that we just can't seem to let go of? Those dreams that we know have been planted in our heart. No, I know God said this to me, but why hasn't it happened? I know God has spoke things into me, but it hasn't happened. Dreams that we feel God has given to us. What happens when those dreams seem to die? What happens when we've experienced defeat in those areas of our life where we know God wants to bring victory, but we keep failing time after time after time? How do we turn those failures we've experienced into success? Well, here in these scriptures, we see a dream that seemed to die. We see defeat to a nation that should have experienced victory. They had God on their side, but they turned their back on Him. If you remember from earlier in our series, God had made many promises to the people of Israel about the great nation that He would make them if they obeyed His commands. But now Israel is no more. The nation is gone and the people are in exile. They're scattered all over the place. And as Ezekiel looks out at this valley of dry bones, it seems like this dream of this great nation is dead. It seems like they've experienced defeat and victory is no longer possible. Instead of success, they've experienced ultimate failure. All that seems to be left is a pile of dead, dry bones. So what do we do when it seems like those dreams we've longed for, that God has put on our heart, have died? How do we respond? How do we deal with failed dreams that we don't believe should have failed? Well, I think this section of Scripture gives us some insight into these questions. And so that's what I want to look at this morning. So I think that the first step in dealing with failed dreams is this. Number one, we need to be honest with ourselves. Ezekiel goes out to look at his nation's army and he sees nothing but dead, dry bones. He's faced with the reality that the people of Israel have failed. It was their own rebellion and their own sin that led them to this place where they found themselves. And it's important that we all take a good, honest look at why we are where we are. What got us to this place? What was it that brought about this failure in our lives? Now, let me say this. The truth is, we live in a fallen world. And sometimes we experience struggles and failures at no fault of our own. It's simply because of this fallen world that we live in. It's the tragic reality of living in brokenness. But oftentimes, we find ourselves in the midst of failure because of our own decisions, or maybe lack of decisions. It's our own failures at times that have put us in this place of defeat. And if we aren't willing to take responsibility for our own failures, then we're probably not going to see the changes that we actually want to see in our lives. If we don't take responsibility for our own defeat, we might not ever see the victories. The truth is we're real good at blaming others. Oh, it's his fault. It's her fault. It's their fault. It's his fault, right? We even blame God at times. But we have to be willing to take a good look at ourselves. And we have to be honest with why this dream seems to have died to begin with. Why have we experienced defeat? Why is there failure? Is it because of our own mistakes? Or is it because it's the wrong dream? You see, if it's because of our own mistakes, then we need to seek the Lord and find out how we can turn things around, right? Because as I've said many times, we cannot change the past, but we can change the future. And God can help us get back on the winning side and turn this failure into success. But what if it's the second reason? What if it's the wrong dream? You see, following Jesus means we seek His will and His way for our lives. But oftentimes our lives, when we say yes to Him, they don't change. They still look the same. We still go down the same path that we were going before we said yes to Him. We continue to seek our dreams. We continue to seek our hopes, our aspirations. And we never really consider God's desires for our lives. So if we want to truly be honest with ourselves, we have to ask the question, Is this a dream God has actually put in my heart? Is it His will for my life? Or was it my own dream, my own desire that I'm going after? Because if it's our own dream, we may need to come to the reality that it's actually dead. And we may need to actually let go of it, release it, so that God can fulfill the dream that He actually has in our lives. But if it's a dream that God has truly planted in our heart, then we can look at this next thing that we can learn from the Scriptures, which is this. And I believe either way, if it was the wrong dream or if it was the right dream, number two is important. We need to put our faith in God. The truth is, there are few things worse than defeat. Nobody likes to lose, right? And there are few things more disappointing than to look out at our dreams and see nothing but dry bones in the valley. Nobody really likes failure. Am I right? I don't think any of us really like failure. But there's one person that can bring us hope in the midst of failure. There's one person that can bring us hope in the midst of what seems hopeless. And when we stand at the edge of the valley looking out at the death of our hopes and dreams, we need to put our faith in that one person. We need to put our faith in God. That's what we see Ezekiel do here in these scriptures. As he looks at the endless pile of dry bones, God asks him a question. God says, can these bones live? Now, if you think about it from a reality perspective, the answer is no, right? They're just bones, you know? There's no organs. There's nothing really that would enable these bones to have life, to be able to live. And so the obvious answer is no. But Ezekiel doesn't say no. Instead, he turns it on the Lord, saying, Lord, you know. Only you know, right? Only you know. He knew that God once created man from the dust of the earth. And if anyone could make these bones come to life, it was God. He's the only one that could do it. And so this morning, as we look out at those dreams that have seemed to die, as we see defeat instead of victory, failure instead of success, God is asking us, can those dreams live? Will they ever come into fruition? Will they ever play out in our lives? And we need to be able to say with all faith and confidence, Lord, you know. Well, only you know. We serve a God of miracles. And He can give life to that which was once dead. He can revive that which is lifeless. He can bring victory where there's only been defeat, success where there's only been failure. If it's His will and desire for our lives, then yes, He can. Amen? Do we have dreams that have seemed to die, that we know God has put on our hearts? Do we have defeat in areas of our life where God has promised victory? Is there a failure in our lives that we need to be turning into success? If so, then we need to be honest with ourselves and we need to put our faith in God. And then the next thing that I think we need to do is this. Number three, we need to listen and obey God's commands. I don't know why, but that finds its way into my message time and time again. You would think maybe God is trying to tell us something, right? We need to listen and obey His commands. In the midst of failure, oftentimes, though, we try to fix things, right? We try to resolve the problem on our own. A little duct tape will do it, right? It'll take care of it. Sure thing. But it's in these times that we need to seek the Lord and His direction for our lives so that we can actually overcome these failures. Not just put duct tape around it until that duct tape rips again, right? We want to experience victory. God is the one that brings to life that which was dead. Now, there are two parts to this point. It's first listening to the Lord, letting Him guide us and direct us. But then there's a second part. It's actually obeying Him, doing whatever it is that He's telling us to do. This is what we see Ezekiel do here in these scriptures. In verse 4, God says to him, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.'" And then in verse 7, Ezekiel says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded." He listened, he heard, and then he obeyed. We actually talked about this a little bit last week. Like I said, it makes its way in almost all of my messages. But it's one thing to seek out and hear the voice of the Lord. And it's a whole nother thing to follow through and do what He's told you to do. If you've been here and heard me share my tightrope story, get in the wheelbarrow. Some of you guys may remember that. Many people are like, "Oh, get in the wheelbarrow. You know, it's that whole idea of when something happens, you're like, "Do you really believe?" "Yeah, I really believe." Get in the wheelbarrow. And it has to do with getting the wheelbarrow and going across the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. Right. If you really believe I could do this, get in the wheelbarrow. And we come to that point where we actually have to do what He is telling us to do. You see, faith without action isn't really faith, is it? Part of putting our faith in God is doing what He tells us to do. It's trusting that He's in control. It's trusting that He knows better than we do. It's following His commands and allowing Him then to do His work in and through our lives. Which leads me to my final point this morning, which is this. Number 4. We need to allow His Spirit to empower us. Otherwise, we're just a bunch of lifeless bodies roaming the earth. It's true. At the end of verse 7 and then verse 8, into verse 8, it says, "There was a noise, a rattling sound, and then the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them." When you look at this scripture, there's an amazing miracle that happens here, right? These bones come together. These body parts begin to grow and it begins to create these bodies over the bones. It was amazing. It was a miracle, was it not? But think about it. At this point, instead of just a bunch of dry bones, all you really have is a bunch of dead bodies, lifeless bodies. These bones may have come together and the flesh may have reappeared, but there was no breath in them. There was no life. There was one more thing that needed to happen, one last step before the true miracle could take place. God had to breathe His breath, His Holy Spirit into the bodies of these soldiers. You see, it wasn't enough for Ezekiel to do what he had to do. God had to then do His part. These bodies needed to be empowered by the breath and Spirit of God. God is the one that breathes life into those things that are dead. And the only way we're going to see those dreams come back to life is through the power of His Spirit at work in us. The only way we're going to turn those defeats into victory is through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. The only way we're going to see those failures turn into success is through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. Because on our own, we can do nothing. On our own, dreams can and will die. Defeat and failure are inevitable. But we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And when we allow His Spirit to empower us, those things that were once dead have the ability to come to life. Those things that have been defeated can be turned into victories. Those failures that have crippled us are turned into success. Amen? And this morning, I want to prophesy. I want to prophesy like Ezekiel did for those dry bones in our lives to come alive. Amen? God wants to bring those dreams that seemed dead back to life. Those defeats where we feel like we fail time and time. God wants to bring victory to our lives. Those failures that we look back and see time and time again, God wants to turn them into success. And only He can do it through the empowering of His Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these words. I thank You for Ezekiel, who was willing to listen and obey, who was willing to prophesy for these bones to come alive. And Lord, this morning, You want to speak that same prophecy over us. These situations that we go through where things seem dead, these situations where we feel defeat and failure, You want to bring victory. You want to bring success. You want to bring life to these things, Lord. And we prophesy this morning that, Lord, You are God. You are the only one that can do these works in our life. And so this morning, I pray over all of us. May we allow You to come and bring those things to life in us, Lord. May we seek to not just listen to what You're telling us, but to obey. Because, Lord, obedience releases the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when we walk in obedience, we begin to see the empowering of the Spirit to go and accomplish things that we couldn't accomplish on our own. And so, Lord, I pray Your blessing over our lives. I prophesy to the dry bones, Lord, to these dreams that have seemed dead. I just pray that You would come and do Your work in them, Lord Jesus. Pray for them to come alive in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord, for what You're doing. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. May You allow these words that were spoken today. Again, Lord, my heart was to decrease so that You might increase. And I pray that the words that You spoke today would touch each of us where we're at. What is it that we need to take from this message today? What is it that You want to speak to us individually? May we receive it, Lord, and may our lives be changed because of it. We give it to You in Jesus' precious name. Amen.